right, this is project number three, and this is the third one which you are paid for, all right, and that is optimizing your customer base. And again, one of the core four projects, because every business, doesn't matter what kind of business it is, has a customer base. You'll be amazed at how many don't understand the value of a customer base, or they don't appreciate the value of the customer base, and they don't appreciate really the value of their customers. And so one of the first things that you want to do and that you have to do in this project is you have to teach them the concept of lifetime value. I made the distinction a while back that when someone understands, or when a business owner truly understands the lifetime value of his customers, he immediately has a competitive edge. And the reason that is the case is because when they know the lifetime value of a customer, then several things happen. Let's take an example. Let's say that we have a furniture store business, and that furniture store you go into and you find out he has a customer base, and you ask him, so how much will an average customer buy from you in a year? And he'll say, well, I think they'll probably be $1,000 average. Okay, that's great. How many years do you think you'll keep the customer? And all of a sudden you're starting to make him think differently. Okay, this is pretty easy. He can come up with this. Now you're forcing him to start doing things that he hadn't thought of before. All right, but you have to help him appreciate this project and understand the significance of this project. He says, well, I think I'm pretty good, and I've seen customers here, I'd say an average, keep them an average of 15 years. All right. Then 1,000 times 15 years is $15,000. And so does that sound good, Mr. Furniture Owner? Do you feel like that over the lifetime you're going to help that family or that individual get about $15,000 worth of furniture every year? TVs, couches, carpet, linoleum, all of that? You feel good about it? Yeah, he says I do. Okay. Well, all right, then let's take out your costs and say that they are $7,000 in costs. So we have $8,000 gross profit, and yes, you'll have associated overhead, allocated overhead, and things like this to that one customer, but for one customer, let's say it's $1,000, and so do you feel then that that's probably more than that, it's probably say $6,000. And so you're going to net, do you feel good, $15,000 gross, you'll net $2,000? He says, yeah, I feel good about that. I think I can, that's about where my margins are, my net margins. And I say, okay, well, then $2,000 means, Mr. Business Owner, that you could spend $2,000 right now, assuming we had the cash and everything, but you could spend $2,000 right now to get you one customer and break even. Right? Oh, yeah. Well, okay, we understand that we don't have $2,000 for every one customer, but maybe we have 200. See? You begin to help him see how valuable this little exercise is, because then that starts helping him define his marketing budget. See? That helps him see that he has more for marketing than he ever thought he did. Okay? And that before, when you talked to him, he'd come in and you'd say, listen, we need to do $5,000 worth of marketing. He'd go, oh, geez, man, forget it. Whereas understanding this concept, he understands, yeah, I only really need two customers and I've broken even on that $5,000.
That's right.
See? And I know I'm going to get more than two. All my marketing's done better than that. I mean, $5,000 better get me more than two. It's probably going to get me 15 or 20, see? And that's your job to help them see where that $5,000 will be allocated to generate the most return for them, okay? And so, very powerful concept. And the more you can understand it and appreciate it and be able to teach this to your prospect, more likely then that he's going to appreciate this whole project and be behind the idea of going for it. Okay.
Do you have a page or two on this?
No. This is new. This is new that we've added. So I think we may have, in some of the examples, Jeff, you might run across it in reading about it, but This is a concept that is really unknown out there, and that 1 in 100 business owners don't understand.
Present okay. Value and future value are just unnecessary complications at this stage.
Yeah, you could talk in the same types of terms. Yeah, doing it this way helps him see marketing. Okay. Any questions on that? Yeah. So you start here and you take him through what his lifetime is, take out his costs and agree together on an allocated overhead and arrive at his net, which in this case is about 20%, which I don't know for furniture business if that's where they're at or not, but... Okay. If you'll help us, then your effort in this next project will be much easier, and you'll have an easier time selling them on it. All right. If you'll turn to page one, then, the overview. One of the most overlooked marketing principles and assets of the company is the customer base. The base consists of former, current, and prospective. Okay? Former, current, and prospective.
Perspective in the book.
I know. Just wanted to give you that perspective. All right. Most business owners, most that you meet with, do not look at this group, and they do nothing with it, or this group. Okay? If you find any doing anything, it's mostly this group. And what will they call that? They'll call it a mailing list. Yeah. You'll ask them, tell me about your customer base. Oh, we got a mailing list. Okay. And see, so if you go in and just try to help him see that we're going to do a mailing list for you, you're not going to sell him, see? Okay? This, all three, is the optimization of a customer base. Okay? And you have to help him see where the former is. You'll say, now, Tom, let me ask you this. You've been in the printing business now for 10 years. Would you have any customers who did business with you in 1993 that did not do business with you in 94? Oh, absolutely. Sure, I will. Well, that's our past customers or our former customers. Can you see how maybe if we invite them back with a good USP that we've gotten established? See why the USP is always first? See? Why write a letter to the past customers? What's going to be your sales pitch? And what's going to be the probable results if you don't have your sales pitch down? Nothing. Be a waste of his money. Be a big disservice to him. You ought to be fired. And so always come back to that and to help him see what you're doing and help him see how right it is and how true it all is and how sensible it all is. And he'll be with you. You'll be able to move him on to the next project, okay? But see, then Tom, let me ask you this. Your current ones, I understand you have a mailing list, and that's great. How does that do for you? Well, gee, it's probably one of our best tools, you know. Well, that's great. How often do you mail to them? Oh, well, usually once a year or twice a year. Well, what we may want to try to do, Tom, is invite them even more frequently. Maybe let's test them every other month. Oh, well, I think that's too much. Well, let me teach you something, Tom. What we have found as marketing consultants is the only ones who tell us it's too much are the customers. And they'll tell us by their response to our offers. Who knows? Your customers might be wanting to buy from you twice as much as you're offering to them. But let's find out. We'll just find out. We'll test. And we'll see. Because one of the best things, the only way we really know is how they respond to us. So if we start working your customer base every 2 months, and we go along January, it does real well, and then March, it does real well, and then May, it drops off. Customers beginning to say, hey, it's too much. So maybe we'll go 3 months. See? So there's how we optimize that current base. Okay? And then you say, now, Tom, let's talk about all those people that come in or inquire over the phone or that your salespeople even actually get some information on, but they don't do any business with you. Those are called prospective customers. Oh, yeah. Okay, I understand that. Well, can you see how maybe if we do what we started in project number 2 and follow up on those prospective customers and then maybe send them another offer 2 or 3 months down the road, we might then have a chance to bring them into the customer base and optimize all the work that you're doing to get them in the first place. See? And he begins to see, oh yeah, okay. So that's what we're going to do in this project, Tom. That's all we're going to do. We're going to optimize this customer base to its fullest. Okay? Any questions on that?
Yeah, when you test his current mailing list, you test to everybody or you just take a percentage of them?
Depends on how many he has.
Right.
If he has 1,000, then you could test a couple hundred.
Right.
If he has 5,000, you could test 1,000.
Yeah, just to see how it's going.
Mm-hmm.
It starts looking good in your Boston.
That's right. Yeah. His tendency will be to want to do it all, you know, but You have to help them two things. One, help them understand that testing is an important concept. And two, you got to give you some room for error. Okay? I mean, if you... Yeah. If you shoot your wad on 5,000 and say, yeah, boy, let's do it, Tom. I know they're going to like it. And I know they're going to want it. And so let's do it. Oh, man, Rich, this is $2,500. I know, Tom, but you trust me, you know. And boom, the marketplace shuts you down.
Now, let me ask another test. I guess we're assuming that we're mailing out and trying to encourage people to come into the store as a...
Right. Right.
So you'd have to have them bring that letter in to get some special...
Right, or call. Or that, it's a specific product offer or something, so you can trace it by...
Track it.
That's right.
Set the system up in the store then to track that. Do you usually have the staff do that, or do you... Do it yourself?
Well, there's a profit opportunity. You have to decide. Now, there are businesses that exist, and all they do is enter data and do mailings. Well, you're going to find, though, that most of the time they don't want clients under 20,000 names. Okay? That's why most of our clients will do it in-house. Most of the small businesses will do it in-house. They'll have 2,000 or 3,000 names or 4,000 names. They're usually on a mailing list. In other words, I think a lot of our businesses have got to the point where they at least have their PC and they have started to transfer their customers to this PC. Okay? If they're not there, that's where you need to start. See, so they're all going to be found at different levels of maturity in this area. All right? Some are going to have their mailing list, and they're going to be hitting it often, frequently, you know. So your area of help will be maybe to change the mailing to improve the response to the mailing. Okay? Because he probably doesn't have his USP in it, and he hasn't learned how to write letters like you'll learn how to write letters. Okay? And so you could do that rather than worry about the frequency of mailings. So that, don't ever get intimidated that there's not something for you to do. There's always something for you to do. And that's kind of your job, is you have to find, oh, gee, well, he's got that covered, he's got that covered, so what do I do? Well, I'll help him with his letters. Okay, and that'll be the way he pays me, you know. So... For years and during the 80s, the economy of the United States carried companies. Wages were increasing, inflation in control, times were good. There was spending going on. The 80s were more entrepreneurs start business and companies. The 90s will be different. Now companies are beginning to market in ways that generate profits. They're finding new ways to do this. They are not only getting new customers, but finding ways to keep them for life. Okay? One of the overheads in your workshop is that the watchword of marketing for the 90s is customer retention. Okay? And it's because the cost of acquisition of new customers is just, it's high. And so customers businesses are beginning to realize that they can make more money from their current customers and pay attention to them more, okay? That's why the 90s are different. Now companies are marketing different. If companies fail to do this, they will lose customers faster than they find them. And one study concluded during the 90s that 50% of all retail establishments will fail. Your client wants his business to survive and flourish. One way you can assure this for him is by marketing with and to the customer base on an ongoing basis. The first step in doing this is to make sure that the company is accumulating the customer base. Alright, so you've got to make sure that you are accumulating or that you are capturing. The customer base. And some are, some aren't. Okay? Most are capturing at least those who do business. In other words, they'll get them off their checks, or they've got them in their invoices, or they've got them off the order forms, and they get that entered into the computer because they have to disperse product or service, and so they got to account for it. And so it's usually there, okay? The groups that they've usually left alone and haven't nurtured at all, again, are these two groups, okay? And so you want to see and maybe help him get his computer guy to flush out the past and send an offer to them to find out who's moved and who hasn't and who's still around, okay? It's called cleaning up his list. You might help him do that, okay? And you go back as far as you think is reasonable to go back. I mean, if it goes back too much more than maybe 5 or 10 years, they've probably left. And so you'd want to start with the nearest, say, 93, and start there and work that.
How do you clean up a list? Do you send them an offer and what?
Well, yeah. Send out a mailing and an offer. Find out which letters get returned by the post office. See? And you can then eliminate those from your database. Okay. Also, if you can even do another step and combine it with a phone call, find out their phone's disconnected, and that's cleaning your list. Okay. So business has to do that, should do that periodically, is that, quote, clean the list. All right.
It's quite big if you don't. You're mailing waste of money.
That's right.
Somebody's not there.
That's right.
I know what they do here in Canada when that letter comes back, they charge you double on it.
Oh,
the
real
stuff is
wow.
We got to pay for the customs officers. Yeah. Club is telling us a lot of custom stories.
I can't help but keep thinking, and this is a little bit of a digression, maybe, but a mailing list, take a northern fishing lodge. They don't have anything else but a mailing list. And previous customers and former customers and prospective customers, and they do advertise. And a friend of mine is talking to me. He said, "Ben, why don't you come and do my business for me?" Well, I don't want to get tied down with his business, but it's something that he needs exactly is to get his customer base working for him.
Okay.
I'm just thinking of a couple of stores I've done business with made some sizable purchases, and they haven't contacted me.
Amazing, isn't it? Radio Shack.
Right.
Okay. When I bought my first computer, a little old 86 and back years ago, that's where I got it. It was a little Tandy, you know. Boy, and you go to Radio Shack and they're on there. So it'll say what's your phone number, what's your address, and there, boom, you pop up, you know. I never heard from them. They never used it.
Really?
Now, I get offers, I get the headquarters catalog, but did you ever get your local stores? See? No.
In the computer business, I mean, what better way for doing upselling and back end?
Well, upgrading and all of that, yeah. Software. Well, sure. Where was Tandy? Where was Radio Shack? They were not to be found, so I went and bought my upgrade elsewhere. Whereas after about 3 years or even 6 months, they could do software and they can do maybe an upgrade in the printer, you know, or something like that. But at least they should have been in touch with me so that when I was ready to upgrade, thank you, Mr. Johnson. We appreciate you buying your first computer here. Hope it's been a good one for you and it's been, you know, worthwhile. And we know that many of our customers are looking to upgrade. Just want you to know the latest from Tandy. And we're competitive and you ought to buy it from here because of this and all that. They lost me instead. See? So it's a real competitive battle out there, and this customer base is one way your client can win that battle, if you'll understand the importance of it. Now, what was that business called? Northern Fishery? What?
It's a sport fishing.
Okay. You have a couple of options. One is, how many do you think he has on his customer base?
Cliff has probably got 1,500.
Does he run it all in-house?
Yeah. He's been trying to do it himself, but he's
really... Is it good?
I'm not reading.
Doing it all by hand.
We'll do that. Yeah. Form them all and write them letters, and I don't know what the hell to do with this.
So we can do that. If we can develop the database for them. We can develop.
Well, that's what you'd have to decide. You know, we're just beginning to bump up against that opportunity as a way for more revenue and profit, and that being the complete takeover of a business's marketing. And when I say complete takeover, I mean, yeah, we're doing the mailings.
They hand you the stack of invoices and you go enter them. Come up with we
a lot of mom and pop operations that haven't had time to do it, but they might have the revenue to.
And that's
they
the key.
You don't have to hire an employee, which in Canada is a pain in the ass.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I don't know, but up there there's benefits and shit you got to pay, and you're tied into some really crappy labor.
Same thing here, you know. And so you have to decide if you kind of want to get in the business of that. Now, the drawback is it can get very time-consuming, that their alternative to you and what you're worth is a lot cheaper for this task. Okay, in other words, they can go get a data entry person that can do that. And so the way that we have packaged it and the way that we are starting to price our services is like for this botanic gardener, botanic gerarium guy, is I hit him with a monthly fee that included my marketing management and consulting fee. So he got one number of $3,000, which about half of that was hard costs. And then half was the time I figured I'd put in, which would be about 15 hours a week, a month. So about a half a day a week is what I projected I would spend on that client. Okay? And so that's what I priced him at, and he bought it. He said, okay, that's fine, that's great. And so that's kind of what you do. You'd have to say, okay, I think this fishing store would take me half a day a week. I want at least $800 in the month for that. Or $1,000 or something, or whatever you decide, then I'll go subcontract out the database entry, okay, and mark it up maybe 20-30%, because that's what I did with this guy. I got my hard cost and then added 30% profit for us, see? Okay, and so I'll hire my gal at $7 an hour, but I charged him $10 an hour, okay? So that way it's more in the price range that he's going to be, it's going to be competitive.
I think there's an opportunity though, Ben, to sell Cliff on program, the USP, whatever, and just roll into it.
Yeah, I've been kind of waiting here. This section to come up. Jeff, is there a high-tech way of entering that kind of data, like on a scanner? Or
I'm sure.
As long as it would have to be typewritten, it can't be Android.
Yeah, it would have to be different. But you'd have to weigh that. How much you can do that, whether you want to acquire the equipment itself,
yeah,
and do that versus hiring a girl at $7 an hour to enter it.
1,500 names would take long to put in the database.
No, it won't take long. And see, you could find a gal that would do that.
Somebody that can type numbers.
Do you have any temp kind of employee, temp pools up there?
Well, the temp service, they all want to get an override on the thing. They're talking $15 an hour on a temp.
Well, I booked into some down here. You can get $7 an hour for basic data entry.
I'm sure we can advertise and find somebody that
do they pay them $5 an hour, take $2?
Yeah.
No worry for you. No taxes or regulations or anything. Just cut a check.
By the year 2000 in the United States, they project that half of all employees will be contracted out.
Well, sure. Canada's
in, right? I talked to a guy who was getting the temp service. He had dollar signs for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's a ruthless business. Anyway, There's little data entry houses and companies that you could turn that task over to, mark it up a little bit, you know, it makes money, then give yourself a fee, combine those two and hit it with it. See if he'll take it.
Yeah, I think he's talking about spending $1,500 a month plus a commission on converting prospects to customers.
How does he generate prospects right now?
Well, he's been a long list. He's been in business for a long time. And he advertises. And then he does a sports show. But any time he's out of the office, he's beat. Well, if he takes Stella with him, he's more than me. He hasn't even got anybody answer the phone name.
That's his wife?
Well, it's not his wife, but his sister.
good friend.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, sure. Close friend. Yeah. Intimate friend. Yes.
More or less. She's wearing an engagement ring, but I think Cliff's...
Not the mother of his children, whatever you're saying.
That's right.
Well, see, Ben, what you'd want to do is go back and show him a systematic approach to all three of these groups. Say, listen, with this group, here's what we'd like to do. With this group, here's what we'd like to do. And with this group, here's what we'd like to do. That group is going to be some follow-up correspondence. After the inquiry comes in and he doesn't close them, you want some follow-up. You'd want to ask him a question. About how long do you think... What's his first name?
Cliff.
About how long do you think, Cliff, between a guy coming in and looking at what you've got... He sells hardware and everything for fishing. Is that what he does?
He's actually a fishing camp.
He's actually got a fishing camp.
You want to go fishing in there?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Then he's going to have a lot of inquiries. People finding out what he does and how much it is and all of that, what the itinerary is. Some are going to make a decision. Some are going to keep looking. I would guess... Well, I don't know if he's capturing those that don't buy, the prospective. If he is, then he needs to make sure we've got some letters going out with brochures and a phone call following up. My guess is people are making a decision fairly... Boy, I don't know. I could make an inquiry about a fly fishing camp now for summer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, so... Yet there's some that are going to try to do it 2 weeks before. Right?
The biggest snowstorm ever is a great motivator for that.
Yeah.
Try it.
But I think that he like needs the whole program. We got to go and see Cliff.
Yeah.
There's lots of fly.
I'm not sure what his USP is.
No, he like doesn't either. And there's lots of fly in fishing camps, so we should have the USP in place so that he can
compete with all of those. That's right. And then you want to make sure and see if that USP is on his literature or is in his brochures. Probably not. Okay. I think, yeah, that's a fun one. That's a good one. And then if he's got this type of opportunity, the leverage of current marketing, well, that would be a project with integrating the USP into all of his trade shows, into his brochures, and into his phone conversations with prospects. Are you looking at other fly fishing camps? Yes. Well, let me tell you why you should choose us. Boom. Can we go ahead and get you scheduled? Can we go ahead and set it up? And he'll convert more inquiries. Okay. A little bit of sales training, yeah. And that's project two. Then this is project three. And this looks like... Yeah. Yeah. You know, and in an industry like that, you would send out a letter in January, something like, you know, hey, it's slow for us now. And we're just kind of getting the summer booked, and so we're making a great offer. If you can send in your deposit now, you know, you'll get your summer for 20% off, you know, your camp, you know. And so, yeah, this offer's good. And
I don't think he's going to make any discounts, but I think he's got to fill the last half of July and all of August.
Right.
The rest of it is no problem.
Right. Then what he wants to do is those who are inquiring heavily for July and or for June and July when he's booked, he needs to capture those, keep them, their prospects, and then come up with an offer for August.
Right. You know. I had a fishing lunch one time talking about the partner that the other gentleman was. I'm talking, my partner was over in that business. But that's what we decided to do, was fill the month of August. And we did. And it worked wonderfully. See, the place just put us humming in August.
How'd you do it?
I don't remember what we did. We pushed August. Get there in August. Told there was no mosquitoes.
See, I think a little letter that went out to the ones that wanted May and June and July, you would say, listen, I'm sorry we couldn't take you. But we want you to come in August, so we're going to give you an extra day, or we're going to give you your equipment free, because it's slow for us in August, and we want to fill it. See? just explain the rationale for the offer.
You know? That's what I told him. The weather's good enough. The weather's wonderful.
Yeah.
How about?
Black flies and mosquitoes?
Yeah.
Mosquitoes the size of that coffee cup?
No. I think all that's sparrows.
Yeah. Good. All right. Page one there, the first step, make sure they're accumulating the customer base. If they do not have a computer, I'd recommend they get one for this reason alone. You have to help them see. Getting a computer and doing this type of marketing, they'll pay for that computer in no time. Okay. So even if they have to go borrow it.
You have a typical software tool that you like to store customers?
Yeah, you know, it used to be that the main software programs like WordPerfect or Microsoft didn't have this. They now do. I mean, you can almost do as much customer tracking and mailing and things on those as you can, as you used to. But then there's specialized ones like ACT. ACT is a good one. Action Plus is another good one. Then you can get really deep in relational software like Paradox, you know, where it's even more complicated, where he would be able to put in there, Tom comes fishing three times a year, he brings his yellow boots, he likes his red gear, he likes his red coat, and he eats his Twinkies, five packs, and so I'm going to send all those with red coats and yellow boots a special offer on Twinkies. Yeah, it's a little bit more. It's highly relationship software, which is what that's called. Where
there are some nice interfaces that have relations. Microsoft has their database. It's not Paradox, but they have a nice little point and click.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is that if you've got WordPerfect Office or Microsoft.
WordPerfect Office.
Yeah, that's what I have. Is WordPerfect Office.
WordPerfect Office.
Yeah, it's ranked.
It's an office suite.
It's an
office suite. Database, spreadsheet,
WordPress. Yeah, those are two that I recall. Telemagic is another one that's a contact management software. So, I guess for the sake of consulting and keeping things simple for our client base, this is about as depth as you want to get, okay? This is probably more depth than they've ever thought about doing, okay? If you were to then focus and go deeper with that, then you'd worry about software and you'd worry about more complicated relationship marketing and, you know, that's... But at least get them to this stage where they're working all three groups of customers, okay? All right, page two, a clothing store accumulated a customer base of 1,500 to 2,000. As with the case with most small establishments, this owner had been approached by radio and newspaper salespeople almost daily. He was investing $2,000 to $3,000 a month in advertising. One day as he was approached, he became frustrated. As he wrote out another check, he asked himself, "What am I getting back from this investment?" In his own mind, he concluded he had not been getting what he wanted. In meeting with the owner, we looked at his current customer base. We constructed a letter the owner could send out to current customers, inviting them to a special sale. This first letter generated thousands of dollars in sales and cost a couple of hundred dollars. This is a revenue source the company had never really seen before. This is an important paragraph. Statistics indicate that 65% of people stop doing business with a company because they get the feeling that they are not important. They get a feeling of apathy towards them from company employees. It's not the price, it's not the selection, or any other reason. The major reason people stop doing business is because they stop feeling important to that company. And so I think that is another way that you sell this project. Lifetime customer is one way. But then you look at them and say, listen, don't you agree, Tom, that if all we did was invite those people that came to our fly fishing camp 2 years ago and stay in touch with them on a regular basis, inviting them back for this year, though they might not come, when they do come again, it's less likely they'll go to the other camp? Doesn't that make sense? That if Tandy Computer had at least stayed in touch with me, they would have had a better shot at getting my next upgrade. Still might not have gotten it, but still a better shot than they did. Right? See? And so another reason to sell this project is, even if we don't bring a whole lot of new business in, it'd be great just to keep the customers we got, wouldn't it, Tom? Otherwise, where are they going to go? To your competitor. Do you want that? No, I don't. See? So in and of itself, it's $1,000 worth just to start him talking to his current people. So you got to feel that. You got to feel that that's worth even $1,000 in and of itself. Because he's not going to lose customers as much to the competition. Okay? All right. Page 3. Capturing customer information. The place to start is have on your invoices as much information as possible. When a customer makes a purchase, not push, but a purchase, or conducts a transaction, make certain that you are able to record how much it was for and if there are any other recommendations. Free drawings are successful. Have drawing cards available at the front of the store and invite customers to fill them out. You can get information from checks or charge card receipts. You might have the person in charge of your data entry go back to old invoices and work orders and put those in appropriate database fields. I'd recommend that you do more than just the basic information. Capture as much as you can. Try to learn the dates of anniversaries, birthdays, special occasions. Know how many children there are in the family. Know what mom likes and what dad likes. Over time, you'll come to know your customers on a much more intimate basis. When they know that you know them and that you want them as a customer, their attitudes begin to change and they develop a loyalty to your place of business. As you capture names, record not only those people that completed a transaction, but also those who didn't. Those are your prospects. A typical retail establishment might have anywhere from 50 to 300 people a day come in the store. Even if only 30 to 100 make transactions, the names of all others who came in the store are valuable. The reasoning behind this is clear. The company is expending overhead on a regular basis to be in business. It pays the rent, mortgage, pays phone bills, sales clerks, pays utilities, has an ad in Yellow Pages. These are regular monthly expenses. Capturing customer names and as much information as possible leverages this overhead expense as completely as possible. Those prospects can be converted over time with effective and ongoing marketing efforts. Okay? So your first step in this project is to capture and get segmented the customer base. Okay? That's week one. It's your first task. Usually you're going to get started on that with Project 1, USP. You want to kind of be looking forward and saying, gee, you know, are we keeping our customers on? Are we capturing them? No, no. Let's get started doing that right now. Okay, you can get them doing stuff they need to be doing right away, even though you're not working that project. Because it may be that by 2-3 months down the road, you need to have 500 customers to do something with. Okay. So if they're not really up to date here, get them going at the start of project one, really. Okay? But that's your first step, is you've got to get it captured. Okay, then the second, after accumulating a customer base and putting in a database, bring this information out on a regular basis and communicate with customers and prospects over and over again. By capturing names in a very short space of time, 2,000 or 3,000 customers can be accumulated. Communicate with them. The sales staff, sales clerk, or administrative personnel should be assigned 50 to 100 of the top customers from the customer base. They should then be required to phone customers monthly. See, your guy, he's probably, by how long has he been in business?
15, 20 years.
Okay. Probably has some regulars.
Oh, yeah. And beat somebody at Jackson Hole, Wyoming. In the airplane business.
See, he probably has a group of pretty regular people, and if I were him, I would set up a system of marketing treating them differently. I would make sure they're phoned. I'd make sure they're coddled. They're really treated well, because you know 20% of your people give you 80% of the business.
The Northern Fishing Lodge operators know about coddling their good customers. They get on a personal basis with them. They know their wives and they spend time together.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what you should do with each client. With Juliet's, we had the clerks call the top 20% of purchasers on a regular basis. They became the salespeople's property, see? And we treated them differently than we did the rest. Okay? People do not need to be telemarketing experts. It isn't a sale. It's simply an invitation for top customers to come back and shop again. Then that gives you a little sales pitch that you could give them. Okay? Page 5. With the remaining customers on the database, reach them by mail. Many companies have regular billings or statements going out. A simple letter invitation could be sent out with the billings. Along with the billings, you could have a special invitation for them to come back, take advantage of an offer for you at a particular time. You might also have a separate mail communication program. Monthly or every other month or so, quarterly, you could send out a letter inviting these customers to your store. Such a letter might say, "Dear Mrs. Brown, we consider you a valued customer. We appreciate the business you've given us. And for that, we want you to know we're having a special on our A and B products this week. We just received a new shipment. We thought of you when they arrived, and he asked me to invite you. We'll be holding a certain amount of this available for previous customers only. Please give us a call. We'll be happy to reserve your products. Again, thanks for your business." Pretty simple, isn't it? The concept and leverage opportunity is phenomenal. Let's say your client has a customer base of 2,000. If you send out a letter and have your staff call a certain group of them, you can get as high as 25 to 40% response from that letter. Why would that be different than a cold mailing?
A personal follow-up.
And it's your customer.
Your customer.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, I open every letter that I get from people I do business with.
Right.
I never throw those away. I like them. I want to know what they have to say. I want to know what's around the corner. See, so customer mailings are the same thing. And so that's why the response is always much higher. If you got what they want, you know, your offer is a key deal there. If you opt against the expense of postage for a letter, use a postcard. This is another way to communicate with the customer base. And if you prefer not to have, you know what I'd do if I was that guy, that fly fishing guy. I've just been thinking about him this whole time. And as far as you know, are his camps pretty much the same each year? I mean, they're pretty...
Well, he tries to make improvements, and he increased the size of his airplane, and he opened a new... we call it an outpost camera, off the fishing lodge thing. He's modified his method of operations to where his flyouts are for day only. Take them out at night, fish them like a and if the weather's bad,
well, you know, Abraham, one of the things he does is out of his groups of prospects, he'll go after his top 20% and hold a special $15,000 camp. Okay, he could do that. He could take his top 20% and raise prices. It's part of getting more money from his current customer base. Create a whole new level of experience for them, you know, a whole new higher end package, you know, that will get them excited to raise above what he's giving the normal crowd, you know. And the letter would go something like, Dear Bill, listen, you've come to my you and several others have come to my camp for the last 5 years, and I appreciate your business. And so I've been thinking about you. I thought, you know what could really get Bill excited again? And here's what I got. And I came up with this brand new adventure, you know. And so it's a packaging thing that you talked about yesterday. Is you're packaging something for a certain group of people, and that's these top 20% who keep coming back every year, every year, every year. Well, he's getting X amount of dollars from them. Maybe he could bring them back and get 30% more from them, you know, if he created a new package. Yeah.
We used to hold a function called Bulky Week. We just fill the place up with Okies. It was good fun.
What's Okie?
Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, same type of thing. And only it's his preferred, what do you call an attendee at a camp? What's he called? Is he called a customer? Is he called a client? Is he called a... You could call him, you know, preferred North.
Customer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he really should. He should start looking at forming a preferred customer program and begin treating them a little differently. And he could probably make... you know, 30% more of his regular fee, you know, if he packaged something that they really thought was exciting and different and unique. And because at some point, those preferred ones might start saying, well, you know, it's just not new enough for me.
Yeah, but he can really turn the personality on it.
Yeah. He ought to use that to his advantage then. Okay, so you want to capture, then this whole section is communicate. Make sure you're communicating with them. And then on page 6 is reward. The message I'm trying to convey is capture, communicate, and reward on a regular basis. That's what I'm talking about here. Let's reward this group. We've captured them. We've communicated with them. They're back with us over and over again. Let's reward them. And at the same time, let's make more money, you know. If your client will do this, they'll find them coming back and spending more money on the business than ever before. Identify those customers most likely to spend 20%.